Hey, what's going on? This is David Boy James.
Hey, this is Scott Owen.
Hi, this is Deborah Lynn. You're listening to the Canadian Country Music Podcast with Tim Albertson.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Canadian Country Music Podcast. This is episode 12. I am your host, Tim Albertson, a Canadian country music artist and lover who has been infatuated with every aspect of the Canadian country music world. The ins, the outs, the moments behind the stage, the songs, the business, and of course, share these stories with our fans. On this episode, we have the new fan-voted top singles this week for the Canadian Country Music Top 20. Only 16 songs voted this week, so I'll have to just add some of my favorites into the playlist. We also have the winners of the CMAOs that happened last weekend, and spoiler alert, if you're an Aaron Allen fan or a Megan Patrick fan, you are very happy right now. And also, our amazing interview with Deborah Lynn. But before we begin, we need to talk about our incredible sponsor, Hooligan Fuel Hot Sauce. Now, as you all know, I absolutely love Hooligan Fuel so much that if you're like me, you probably have to buy two or three bottles at a time because you know you're going to want to put it on your steak with their barbecue hot sauce or their chicken with the honey habanero sauce, not to mention the amazing other sauces, including their cranberry-infused hot sauce coming back just in time for Thanksgiving. I use so much, I almost wish that they had a bigger bottle, and now they do. Check out all the amazing options and sizes they have available on their website. The crew also have begun a new incentive with their company, which I am a part of, and you will be hearing about a Tim Albertson hot sauce coming early December. So go check them out at Hooligan, that's H-O-O-L-I-G-A-N, fuel.com. Let them know you found out from us, and your taste buds will thank you. All right, here we go, everyone. Drum roll, please. This is the Canadian Country Music Top 20 Playlist. This playlist is fan voted on our Facebook group. Each week, we will pick the number one track as well as our pick of the week. Now, we made this playlist on Spotify to help other artists get more plays and have our listeners learn some new incredible artists. You can always have your say by joining us over on Facebook by searching the Canadian Country Music Podcast. This week, we had 16 entries, so here we go. Starting from the bottom at number 16 is the Merle Marlowe Band with Western Sky. At number 15, we have Caves, Where I Wanna Be. Number 14 sees Mizzy Demon, Under My Thumb. Number 13 has Christina Rogers at Whiskey Hangover. Number 12, Mr. Jeff Caddo with Round of Life. Number 11 sees Shyla Hart with Atypical. Number 10 has Josh Norad, To the Wind. Number 9 has Amanda Jordan, Love You to Pieces. Number 8 sees Chloe B with It's Who I Wanna Be. Number 7, our guest this week, Deborah Lynn at Revive a Ghost. Number 6 sees Rob Fitzgerald with Can I Get an Amen? Number 5 sees the Scott Harworth Band with Everybody's Welcome. Number 4, last week's guest, Scott Owen, with Never Wrote You a Song. Number 3, you guys voted me, Tim Albertson, Gonna Get Loud. Thank you very much for that. Number 2 sees Tommy Jetsy at Take It For You. And number 1, with an astounding 858 votes, sees Mr. Phil Lawson, Because of Yours. Phil, congratulations on that, my man. Congrats to all that made the list. Again, it is an entirely fan voted, so if you're a fan of an artist, add them into the poll and watch who rises to the top next week. Now, last weekend was the CMA Awards. 18 categories and some big name winners on this list, so let's go through from start to finish. The winners of the 9th annual CMA Ontario Awards are: for Single of the Year, sponsored by Pure Country 93, we see No Truck Song by Tim Hicks. Album of the Year, sponsored by Country 106.7, sees Highway Mile by our friend Aaron Allen. Songwriter or Songwriters of the Year, sponsored by SoCan, we see Owen Barney, Alyssa Reed, Dave Thompson, Mike Wise, Jamie Appleby for Thank You For That, recorded by Owen Barney. Female Artist of the Year, sponsored by Country Fest Productions, sees Megan Patrick. Male Artist of the Year, sponsored by Boreal Botanical, sees Aaron Allen, 2 awards. Group or Duo of the Year, sponsored by Country 103, sees Buck 20. Roots Artist or Group of the Year, sponsored by Skeleton Truck Line, sees the Abrams. Francophone Artist or Group of the Year, sponsored by Desjardins, says Le Rat de Swamp. I hope I pronounced that right, guys. Rising Star, sponsored by Slate Music, sees Robin Ortolini, of course. Music Video of the Year is Girls Like Me, sponsored by MNP. Fans Choice, sponsored by Tourism Hamilton, is Megan Patrick. Record Producer of the Year, sponsored by Metalworks Recording Studios, sees Jeff Dalziel, who works with Aaron Allen, David Boy James, Rivertown Saints, and about a million other artists. Music Industry Person of the Year, sponsored by Calculate, sees Randy Owen, radio host and personality. Now here we go, the radio stations of the year for the large market. Now these are people in the big, big cities. We have CKDK, Country 104 at Woodstock. Country Radio Station of the Year in the medium market sees CHCQ-FM Cool 100.1 FM in Belleville. Radio Station of the Year in the small market sees CICX Pure Country 106 in Orillia. Now the CMAO Ontario Awards and Festivals Weekend hosted 3 drive-in tailgate concerts at Ancaster Fairgrounds September 3rd to 5th, 2021, including the New Faces Showcase and Concert, the Legacy Revival, and the 9th Annual CMAO Ontario Awards presented by Slate Music with support from Ontario Creates. CMAO Ontario will donate a portion of the proceeds from the New Faces Showcase and the Legacy Revival concert to local charities, Hamilton Food Share, and Tim Hortons Foundation Camps. I'm gonna get loud. Now, on today's podcast, we have Deborah Lynn. Deb grew up in a small town of Stirling, Ontario, born and raised in the deep tradition of country music. Deb set her sights for Toronto, where she ran a candy shop for over a decade. Having to deal with the struggles of life, Deb moved back home and also met the man who truly deserves a lot of credit in Deb's career, her husband, Paul. Deb's singing and style make her related to some of the most iconic female singers in country music. Her latest single, Revive a Ghost, talks about a love loss and heartache, but in a way it can also be seen as her phoenix moment, one I am truly excited to see where it goes next. So grab some hot cocoa, nestle up to a bonfire, and let me introduce you to a woman you will soon hear in every household. Deborah Lynn is coming your way in 3, 2, 1.
Well, there's a spot way back in the boondocks.
All right, welcome everyone to another episode of the Canadian Country Music Podcast, sponsored by Hooligan Fuel Hot Sauce, where you can get the best tasting hot sauce for every occasion at hooliganfuel.com. If you're watching on YouTube, thank you so much for tuning in. And if you're watching the live premiere, please come over and click the live chat button to chat with us. But don't forget to subscribe and like and click that notification button so you can see when we come on next. Now, if you're listening on any major podcast streaming platforms such as Spotify or Anchor, thank you so much for tuning in and listening. I am your host, Tim Albertson, Canadian country music artist and lover. Now, close your eyes for a second and bear with me. When you think of Reba, Martina McBride, Trisha Yearwood, Carrie Underwood, and Tennille Towns, they all have something incredibly in common with today's guest. Their voices are truly unique. On today's episode, we have award-winning country singer-songwriter Deborah Lynn. Now, Deb was born and raised in Stirling, Ontario. Country roots with musical influences in folk and classic rock, paired with her incredible vocal talent, constantly leaves audiences wanting to hear more. Deborah Lynn has been singing and playing guitar since she was young. After college, she started a small business in Toronto and entrepreneurship. Did not leave much time for her music, but when she went to Nashville in 2018, it sparked her love for country music again. Deborah was lucky enough to play the songwriter's open mic at the iconic Bluebird Cafe. I cannot wait to talk about that, by the way. And joined the house band on stage for a couple of songs at the famed Tootsie's on Broadway. Another one we need to talk about. Proud CCMA and CMAO member Deborah Lynn released her debut single April 17, 2020, called Revive a Ghost. It quickly rose to number one on the Canadian Indie Country Countdown. Deborah Lynn was honored to be a performer at the 2020 Breezeway Awards shows, where she was nominated for four awards, including Entertainer of the Year. Canadian Country Music Podcast listeners, please give it up for today's guest, Miss Deborah Lynn. Deborah, thank you so much for coming on to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to be here tonight.
Okay. Just in that intro alone, we have so much to talk about. Now, I had the pleasure of meeting up with you at Soundcheck Entertainment's 10-year anniversary festival, but we were also on the CICC together, and I'm pretty sure you actually beat me out as in the number one category. So congratulations.
Thank you very much.
And okay. So we talk about your entrepreneurship. By the way, what was the small business that you used to own?
I owned a candy store Sweet Temptations, and it was right downtown Toronto, and I owned it for over 13 years before I sold it and moved back to my hometown.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it was cool. It was such a fun business to run, that's for sure.
Just a nice little novelty.
Yeah, exactly.
That's beautiful. Okay, so then like in Nashville in 2018, where did this idea that you needed to go to Nashville even come from?
It was a family trip. One of our good friends asked us if we wanted to go to Nashville, and we said, yeah, absolutely. And then they said, great, we're taking the kids. And we said, oh, hang on, no. And I know that sounds terrible, but it gets better. We didn't want to go to Nashville with our daughter because we wanted to experience all of the music things that Nashville had to offer, obviously. And when we said, oh, thanks, but I think that we're going to do it as an adult trip sometime. They said, oh, wait a minute. We're bringing a 20-year-old babysitter with us. Like, oh, okay.
Sure.
We're back in. Exactly. So we did like kind of a twofold thing. We went to Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, where we did like all of the fun family stuff. We had a cabin in the Smoky Mountains and did all, you know, all that kind of family tourist kind of things. Mm-hmm. And then in Nashville, we got an Airbnb and we did day family things during the day. Went to the Country Music Hall of Fame and all of those kind of things. Yeah. And then at night, the babysitter would stay with our kids and we would hit the town. So it was amazing. And it absolutely inspired me to start to kind of get back into the whole music scene.
How could it not, right? Like deep in the heart of country music right there. Like if you ever wanted to hum a tune or whatnot, that's going to be the place that gets your fire going.
Exactly. Absolutely. And once we decided that we were going, bottoms up as the sun goes down, stress is lost and good times are found. If you feel it, you're going to shout it out. That's what I'm talking about. A songwriter's open mic night, and so I thought, okay, I need to do that if I can. And it's really hard to get into in the sense that like you phone. So yeah. It's kind of just a matter of chance. But it took, there was, I think, six or seven of us calling, and finally somebody got through and they,
it's like a radio station, right?
Yeah, exactly. I want to win the caller number, whatever.
Yeah.
So I was fortunate enough to get in there, and it was the most amazing experience I've ever had. I sang the first song I ever wrote when I was 16, and I thought it would just be a kind of a
cool yesterday.
So yesterday, exactly. Yeah. Thank you.
wait. Yeah. You might want to put that wine back away if we're going with yesterday was 16.
That's right. Oh, shoot. Yeah. So, and it was just such an incredible experience to sing in a room where so many talented artists have sang and been discovered. And, but not only that, to play for an entire room of music lovers, right? People who want to hear every word that's coming out of your mouth, every note that's coming out of your guitar. You could, you know, like you could hear a pin drop kind of thing. Yeah. It was absolutely incredible.
That's what I love about the Bluebird. It's kind of got its own thing. Like you literally go there to hear brand new music that you have never, ever heard before. And then lo and behold, 2 years later, all of a sudden you hear it on the radio and it's like, I was there the night that they released that song.
Absolutely.
So for people who don't understand the Bluebird Cafe's kind of backstory, in terms of the open mic songwriters, is this a place where you go to show your songs, or are you sitting around a table or are you like trying to write a song on stage with other people as it's all going on?
So they have that as well, which I would have loved to have been a part of as well, but it was on a different night. This was the songwriters open mic. So it was an open mic. You stand up on stage and you sing. And the only caveat is that it has to be your own song. It has
no
to
covers. Be original.
Yeah, exactly. No covers. So, it was pretty darn cool.
Do you remember anybody else that was performing that night?
I remember certain songs, but not names. I was just, honestly, I think I was just so like, just in shock that I was
just taken back of it all.
And my nerves of actually being on the stage myself. I don't think I heard anybody before me.
Honestly, I give you full credit, because if I walk into the Bluebird, there ain't no way anything's coming out of my voice. It's just going to be like, I'm just going to be fangirl, 100% fangirl.
Exactly.
So Deb, let's get into the questions here. So fun fact, you grew up in Stirling, Ontario. Shout out Stirling. I grew up in Stirling Township, Ontario.
That's crazy.
So it's crazy. It's better known as Herkett. If for the locals around there, we have a couple of townships, and then Herkett is technically the old highway that has now been moved over. So now people live on this loop. So Herkett is literally a road, but we just amalgamate everything else in the area to be just Herkett, because it's just simpler that way. But now, what was growing up in a small town like Stirling like for you?
Oh, it was amazing. We actually, I lived about 5 minutes outside of the town. It was a village. It was like, I want to say 1500 or 1600 people in the town. And we lived on our family's farm that's been in the family for over 150 years.
Oh, wow.
We have my grandfather across the road on one side of us, and my aunt and uncle across the creek on the other side of us. So we grew up with, you know, tons of family around. Mm-hmm. And we had a creek in the backyard. So we went swimming and fishing and trap shooting with my dad, like true country stuff. And just absolutely loved it. I don't think that I appreciated it as much until I moved away, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I lived, like I said, downtown Toronto for 20 years. So moving there, it was like a huge shell shock to my system.
Oh, I could just imagine.
Oh my goodness. The first time, I think the first week I was there, I'd call my mom. I'm like, Mom, everybody, they walk so fast and they talk so fast. And I just can't, like, it's just like a crazy, crazy.
The lights never turn off here. Ever.
Exactly.
So you're very well still connected into your hometown then.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I moved back here about 8 years ago, 8 or 9 years ago, I guess 8 years ago. Yeah. And I love it. I mean, I do gigs in my hometown and my family and my family friends that grew up with, they're my biggest supporters. They come to my shows. And so it's awesome. I'm so happy to be back home.
That's awesome. What's the biggest thing you would take from your roots that incorporates into your music?
I would say a sense of community and just kind of, and support.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'm finding that in the country music scene in Ontario, it is like a huge family. Everybody is so supportive of each other. It's just, it's incredible. And I think that, even through the pandemic, well, all through the pandemic. I mean, I had just kind of started my journey in music really in about 2019. So kind of just before everything shut down, right?
Yeah.
But I've had so much support and met so many people online, and it's kind of crazy how you can actually really feel connected with people just doing this, right? And then when we get the chance to meet each other like we did, a few weeks back, and it's so cool. So yeah, I would say the sense of support.
I 100% agree with you on that, and that's like the way that I've always said it on stage and whatnot. Is I grew up in a very, very small town. So my population of our town is probably like 250. We don't got a general store. We don't have anything like that. All you got is homes. And if you own your own business, then it's there too, but that's about it. But the cool part about that is that everybody knows everybody. So everybody feels like family. So not only is it me in this journey, but it's literally every single person in my hometown that's on this journey with me. They're also the ones that are voting. They're also the ones that are listening. They're also the ones that are sharing all my stuff and pushing it on, showing all how proud they are of me and whatnot. And that's what keeps my drive going. It's like, I'm bringing all yous with me. Like it's not just me when it comes into a small town. And that's what I love about being from a small town. It's just having that family of literally hundreds. And as you get into the country music, it just gets more and more.
Absolutely. That's exactly it. You're bringing them all with you on this journey, and they are there to catch you if you fall, or, laugh along with you if you make mistakes and all of that kind of stuff. And it's just awesome.
Incredible, right? So I make a pretty bold statement in the intro, and I fully back it up. Your voice is truly your own. I think of listening to like Brad Paisley and Keith Urban, or even any of the women I mentioned earlier, and from the second I hear your first vocal chords, it's like, oh, okay, that's them. And I honestly think you have that feature in your music. So at what point did you begin your singing career, and when did you sort of find that this vocal quality was there, or did you have to work on it? Was it natural for you, or?
Well, first of all, thank you for those comparisons, because I was like, wow, that's incredible. And it's funny when you say singing career, I haven't quite got there yet, in the sense that where I feel that I can actually say I have a singing career. It's something that I'm working on. Mm-hmm. And I've been I've had a lot of support in the industry telling me, you know what, you got to stop with that. You know, you're not an artist, or you don't have a career kind of thing. But it's something that I struggle with. I've been singing since I was like 4 years old, just kind of at our small town festival of sacred praise kind of thing. My mom would enter me in every single year, and I sang in school choirs and church choirs and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. When I think about 15 years old, my dad bought me our first guitar.
Do you remember what kind it was?
It was an El Degas. Classical guitar, because he didn't know what to get kind of thing. Yeah. And I think he honestly bought it from a guy off, at work kind of thing. And, so I started to play it. I'm like, this is really great, but it's really hard for me to get my hands around, blah, blah, blah. And then we started looking into things and like, okay, let's get a regular acoustic kind of thing. And kind of went from there. So I taught myself how to play, just with one of those, how to play guitar chord books kind of thing. And then started writing songs about 16 years old, and just about, I guess relationships
as 16 year old girls do.
I know, right? Exactly. Yeah. And like, why do things have to be like this and all that kind of stuff, right? So I did that. And then when I moved away, I played a little bit. On my second marriage, my first one was not great. And I kind of put up my guitar for a long time and put everything on hold. And then when I, you know, had my candy store, I didn't have time to kind of pick it back up. So, so there was quite a big, you know, gap in, when I used to sing and when I started back up again. When Paul came into my life, my wonderful husband,
Mr. Paul O'Connor, we need to give that man a huge shout out.
That we do. He had, he'd overheard me singing and playing, and he's like, what are you doing? Like, why are you not doing this more? What, like, why are you hiding this from me? I'm like, well, I'm not hiding it from you. I just don't, I'm just not, you know, I was just afraid to put myself out there. I've been hurt so much. And, you know, so he just encouraged me more and more to keep playing and, you know, practice and all that kind of stuff. And then in 2019, I was called to do, there was a, somebody had dropped out of the Next Country Music Star contest in Bethany. And somebody in from Sterling, actually, Dave Bush, a local musician, he had told the organizers to reach out to me. He's like, I know somebody who would be great for that. You should reach out to her. So they reached out to me. And I was in a duo at that time and just starting out again. And so I went to the guy that I was in the duo with. I said, what do you think about this? And he said, sure, let's do it. And I might add that I had a week's notice.
Oh boy.
The contest was happening in a week's time.
Yeah.
So
he good luck for anybody listening that doesn't know the Next Country or the Next Star is, it's a heavy, heavy competition. Like, you do need to prepare for this and get ready for it because you just don't know what to expect until you get there.
That's right. And when I'll get to that part in a minute because there's so much to it. My bandmate had said, yep, no, that sounds great. I said, okay, wonderful. And then the next day he decided that he couldn't do it. So, and I had already committed.
Yeah.
So I can't, I wasn't going to back out. So I just went forward and I just practiced, you know, the crap out of everything that week. And then I showed up there and I felt so out of my league. And I will tell you why I felt out of my league. The winner that year was David Boy James.
Yeah, there you go.
Right. So he's, you know, walking around and his band's there and and we're in the green room. I'm like, oh my gosh, these guys are for real.
Not to put anybody down whatsoever musically, but if David Boy James is in a competition, I feel like everybody else is just playing for second place. You know,
right.
The man goes into a competition with a desire to win. And I'm pretty sure almost 100% of the time he comes out on top.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And he had a killer set. He did all originals and it was amazing. I showed up there and felt way out of my league. And I was so beyond nervous because I hadn't done anything like in front of people in a really long time. And there was a wonderful, wonderful guy there by the name of David Angeles. And he was in the competition as well. And he saw me in the green room and he said, introduced himself and he's like, you know, are you excited? And I said, honestly, I'm scared. I'm so beyond scared. It's not even funny. I found out about this a week ago and I don't know what I got myself into. And he's like, and then I said, I was supposed to have somebody here to play with me and now it's just me. And, you know, and he's like, well, what songs are you doing? And I told him a few of them. He's like, well, I know a couple of those. And if you just kind of like, you know, play somewhat towards me, I can just kind of back you up. And are you serious? You're in the contest yourself. He's like, oh, it's all good. I got a hat in the truck. So I'll go and I'll put the hat on. I'll get up on stage. And he joined me on stage and backed me up, which was just so incredibly amazing. He's always Paul and I both call him my musical angel. Like he was just my guardian angel, because it just, you know, it calmed my nerves down. So I did that and I got some really great feedback from the judges. And so that kind of pushed me to kind of take things a little bit further. They suggested I become a member of the CMAOs. So I did that. I went to the conference, and this is where it's getting to the part about my vocal experience. I met Mika Barnes there. Mika is my vocal coach. I met him there. He was a member of the Nylons, and his musical expertise and experience is just out of this world.
Yeah.
So he's based in Toronto, which is a couple hours from here. So he had said, you know, come to my studio and, you know, I'll work with you. So I went there, and he's like, all right, show me what you got. And, you know, we went through a few exercises and sang a couple of songs. And he said to me, well, you know, vocally, there's not much I can really do. And I'm like, well, okay, is that good or bad? Oh, no.
This man's to get a profanity word tossed towards him.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, oh, no, am I that terrible? But he's like, because you've got all the basics. He's like, but what I really see that I can work with you is your confidence. I'm like, hell yeah.
Is it that obvious?
So, and then I said, also, I want to reach higher notes and all that. He said, yep, I'll get you there too. Mm-hmm. No worries. So I've been working with him for the last year and a half. Pre-COVID, I went to his studio. During COVID, we had a few Zoom sessions. And he's just taken my voice to a whole new level. And my confidence, and I still have a lot to work on, but he's just been absolutely incredible.
Well, girl, if you need to work on your confidence, you don't show it once you get on that stage.
Thank you.
All right. So let's chat some music here. Now, Revive a Ghost is a powerful ballad about being in a relationship and sort of beating a dead horse when both parties obviously can't make it work. Right. It's a beautifully written song and well-produced. Can you kind of take us behind the scenes? Like, where did this song come from you?
Absolutely. So I would love to take all the credit and say that it came from everything that I've gone through in the past and all of that kind of stuff. But I didn't write the song. It was actually pitched to me. I was working with Dustin Bird out of Sterling, actually. Who's an incredible, he's everything. Like, he's a singer, songwriter.
You name it, that man's got it.
You name it. Exactly. So he wrote and produced the song and recorded it. He did the whole thing. I just, sang and put my all into it. So we were going back and forth with, I was sending him song ideas and he was, giving me feedback and asking me, well, who are your inspirations and what kind of stuff do you like? And send me some of the things that you've been kind of, because I had just started to write again when we had our first meeting. So I really didn't have much of anything fully done. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you know what? Hang on. He's like, he sent me Revive, and he's like, tell me what you think of this. Do you think, is this something that, and I'm like, oh, as soon as I heard it, I'm like, yeah, like who hasn't been there, right?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. So I just, I felt like it was something that I could actually, put my emotion behind and I guess be an advocate for, right? Cause I've, there's a lot of songs that, you just sing and have fun with or whatever, but I do like the ones that really kind of mean something.
Yeah.
So we just kind of went back and forth with it. And then I went to his studio. I think it was in January, of 2020. And then we released it April, 2020.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That song is absolutely incredible. So big shout out to Dustin Bird. That is an incredible track. And yeah, like you can tell in your song for Revive a Ghost that you have the emotion in the song. Like you can hear it from your heart in that song. And I think that's what really drew me into it. Because there is some artists out there that can put a song like that together, but if you can't feel the heartache in that song, it's just not going to resonate as well as it would with anybody else. So bravo to you on that, because damn, girl.
Thank you. Love that. Damn, girl.
Copyright that. That is a song right. title.
There you go. Girl. Perfect.
Boom. Yeah. Podcast is doing something for me. Now, at the Soundtrack Entertainment 10-year extravaganza, you were part of the all-female Friday night, and you set up the bar extremely high. And as I said last week on the podcast, I was kind of nervous to try to keep the momentum up that you girls brought on stage the following night. Your live performance isn't just singing on a stage. It's almost like a play on words. You can feel the words from your on your face as you express each emotion, whether it be heartfelt or hatred or laughter. Who would you say you draw the inspiration from on stage the most?
I would say the artist that I connect with the most would be Ashley McBride. She just feels every single lyric that she sings. And she's just incredible. She's incredible. She's an incredible artist, writers, everything. But like you said, like I want to be able to take the audience away with me in whatever song it is. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I work on with Mika, is, you know, trying to engage the audience and have them feel the hurt that I'm feeling in the song that's, you know, and or have them feel the happiness or the pain or the whatever it may be. And she, if you watch her, my most favorite performance of hers was the first time that she sang at the Grand Ole Opry. She did Girl Going Nowhere. And she wrote that song, you know, because people just didn't basically told her she was crazy. She wasn't going to make it anywhere and all that kind of stuff. And when she stood on that stage and in that circle and sang it, she cried. Like, she was that emotional. And it was gives me goosebumps every time. And I just, I channel my inner Ashley when I get up there.
Makes sense.
And I just
makes
try
sense.
To feel those lyrics, right?
Yeah. I think, again, like the heartfeltness you have on stage, like just like your live recordings, they literally just draw you straight in. It feels as though like the stage gets closer when you're on stage.
Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you. I really, truly appreciate that. That's awesome.
That's just honesty for me. All right. So let's get more into a personal topic. Now we've quickly kind of just brushed over this a little bit so that we could kind of bring it in on this one. So one thing that I struggle with on a daily basis is confidence. And I know I'm capable of doing what I can do, but nerves hit on a consistent basis for me. And as a younger kid, I was an overweight kid, so I didn't really feel I looked the part that society would accept me as an artist. So to be honest, I almost gave up on music completely. Now, have you ever had to deal with your confidence issues? And if so, what kind of tips or tricks have you helped to get through them?
First of all, I just want to say I'm glad you didn't give up, because the world would be missing out. So I'm glad that you
much appreciated, man.
Absolutely. And yes, I struggle with confidence on a daily basis. As I mentioned before, I kind of went through rough relationship, et cetera. And it took me a while to kind of find my voice. And I think that I don't even know what gets me through. My daughter gets me through, you know, my nerves, in the sense that, you know, we're always telling her that you got to go for things. You got to give it your all. And the absolute, like, there's nothing terrible that can really happen. Like, you can get over anything that happens. Really, you can get over anything that happens in your life. Right. So, you know, when I get up on stage and I'm, you know, afraid of my voice cracking, or I'm afraid of, you know, missing a note, I just think, well, so what? What's going to happen? Are people going to like boo me off the stage? doubtful. If they do, do I want them there?
No. Yeah. Do I even want to be there at that moment?
Right. I want to be supported. Right. Mm-hmm. So, I think a little bit of the whole confidence thing is showing your vulnerability. And when you can do that and realize that really, you know, nothing terrible is going to happen, that kind of helps me get through my stage fright. I still get nervous though. Like I still, and I think that's a healthy thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a healthy thing, you know, to always have a little bit of nerves. But kind of each show that I do, it kind of gets a little bit less and less.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I just, and the other thing that I do right when I get on stage, if I'm starting to kind of, you know, get those butterflies, I tell myself, this is what you want. This is what you want. You want to be sharing your love of music.
Mm-hmm.
So just calm down and enjoy it.
Yeah.
Because, you know,
I feel
nobody's forcing me to be up there. I want to be up there.
Yeah. So. I feel the exact same way. I get the jitters just like an hour before the show. Like when the next artist is on, that's just before me, then it's like, oh God, oh God, oh God. Like, can you play like 6 or 7 more songs before your last one, please? Just so I can sit here for a little bit. But then it's like, I grab the guitar and I plug it in and I'm standing either on the side of the stage or I'm standing on the stage and we're about to get going. And all of a sudden, like, it's just like a rush just drops and all the jitters go away. And I, for lack of a better term, transform into this artist known as Tim Albertson. And it's almost like night and day sometimes. If you see me like seconds before a show as to me on the stage, two totally different people.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Now, we all have those moments when we look back on our lives and wonder if I did this or if I didn't do that, what would happen? That kind of what if moments, right? So if you could have a chat with the younger version of yourself, at what age would you want to go back to and what would you say to yourself?
Oh my goodness, that is a good one.
We're peeling back layers.
I know, big time, big time. I'm always a believer of, like, you know, everything happens for a reason and our paths are, you know, are just kind of meant to be, you know, they're just meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
But if I could go back and tell myself something way back when, without, you know, changing the direction, because yep. I think, like, yeah, there's a lot of things that I would change for sure. But in the grand scheme of things, I wouldn't really change anything because I am who I am now. And I have the family I have now because of everything that kind of happened along the way. But what I would tell myself way back when, and probably when I was like, I don't know, 20, 25 kind of thing.
So not like, way back when.
No, well, oh yeah, that's right. I'm like, that's right.
Yes. So in the future,
that's right. In the future, I would, and something that we will instill in our daughter is never let anybody dim your light.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, just you do what you want to do and be confident as much as you can. And, just don't let anybody dim your light.
How old is Octavia now?
She's 10.
10. Okay. Yeah. So you're getting into that stage where you dimming lights has got to be instilled 24/7.
That's right. Exactly. And the, you know, the pressures, in life that, that kids face, and everything that they've been through, even just in the last couple of years, it's been crazy. Right.
Yeah. I couldn't even imagine being a kid way back when and having to deal with this. Yeah. Not a chance.
No, exactly. So, right now we're really trying to instill that, you know, be strong and be independent and do things. And that's the other thing. Maybe I would tell myself to be a little more independent and, you know, stand my ground kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So those are what we're kind of, you know, teaching her along the way.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, if she's watching Mama, she sees it. I promise you. So,
well, that's funny because that's something that, because a lot of times Paul signs me up for things that that I am, you know, afraid to do or whatever, because he knows that I can handle them in the grand scheme of things, and he knows that I will never put myself out there. And that's another thing that goes through the whole confidence thing and just everything that I kind of been through. I don't put myself out there for fear of rejection.
Yep.
And that's crazy in this business, because you get rejected all the time, and I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to, you know, and I know that's crazy, but there are things that he deals with that, so that I don't have to put myself through all of that. Mm-hmm. Yes. So he signs me up for things, and I totally lost my track of where I was going with that.
He takes these completely out of your comfort zones.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. And when I start to get, like, oh my gosh, I can't do this, whatever it was that you signed me up for, I can't. And he'll say, well, you have to do it. Like,
yeah. You're signed up. What if you can't back out now?
Exactly. And you have to do it for Octavia. You have to, you know, you got to show her that no matter how scared you are and how, you know, you just have to power through, because she's going to go through things in life, and we're going to tell her, tough luck. You gotta do it. Yeah. So you're her example.
Well, you didn't do it, Mama. Yeah, yeah. So happy the missus hasn't pulled the kid card on me yet.
Well, if she watches this episode, she might.
You know what? She might not be able to. She might be unavailable to watch this episode.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Oh man. So, Deborah. I mean, we've talked about Revive a Ghost. You just did the Star Power Country show last night. What is next for you in terms of music?
Next for me. So I've got, as far as performing goes, I've got a few different gigs lined up, a couple of things around here, Bistro 116 on Friday, and I'm playing the second stage at the Breezeway second stage at Happy Green Acres.
Happy Green Acres!
Yeah, I know. Isn't this such a great venue?
Oh my goodness. So it is literally paradise.
Yeah, I know. It's so amazing. So
Henry and his team over there are just incredible. Henry, if you're listening, man, keep it up.
Yeah, absolutely. The artists are so grateful to have such an amazing, welcoming venue. And it's so cool. Like, the campgrounds there are like something.
It's insane. So for people who haven't gone to Happy Green Acres, basically you come off this side road into paradise, and you walk in, and there's a sign there that says slow down because our campers are drunk, and you come around the corner, and there's a beautiful, beautiful steel building with wide open sides on it, and it has a stage in the corner, and it's not like in the center of the building, so it's in the corner of it, so you can still access things. Like, obviously they still need to park their equipment in there in the wintertime and whatnot, but it is absolutely gorgeous. If there is campgrounds around right now listening to this podcast, you guys need to click on to Happy Green Acres, see what they're doing, and you need to mimic that right now.
100% agreed. So amazing. So, yeah. And then on a music front, I'm in the process of recording a song right now.
Can we have a sneak peek? What's it called?
It's called Some Things Are Worth Saving.
Ooh.
And so it's kind of like the opposite of Revival.
Yeah, we just did a flip.
Right? Exactly. Yeah. Because it's, I mean, yeah, some things are worth saving, right?
Absolutely.
I co-wrote it with Aaron Allen, who just won CMAO Male Artist of the Year and album
of the year. And then producer Jeff Dalzio wins producer of the year. So yeah.
Yeah.
I call Jeff and Alan, Aaron, they're literally like the King Midases of country music.
Right.
For some reason, they touch it, and it just instantly turns to gold.
Yes. Yeah. Oh. So I had the pleasure of writing. I've written two songs with him, and actually we have a co-write scheduled for next week as well.
Ooh, so do we.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. Oh, have you written with him yet?
No, I haven't. Oh. We've always had the chat, like, we've always like talked about co-writing, but then like family always gets jumbled up and then things we just can't get together. So now it's on the books. It's written down. We're doing it. I'm not telling anybody what date we're doing it yet because I want it all to be a surprise when everything comes out. But I am beyond fangirl excited on this.
Oh, as you should be. He is so incredible. He's so talented. And he's just such an incredibly genuine guy. This is another thing that Paul did kind of behind my back, signing me up, you know, that kind of deal. He back in...
As managers should do.
Right? when we started our... I did a live stream every single Thursday night when the first wave happened and everything was shut down. So every Thursday night I'd come down here to this bar and we'd do a live stream. So I don't know, after a couple of months, Paul had reached out to Aaron and he's like, "Hey, Deb's doing this live stream. Like, any chance you want to be a guest? Would that be something that you'd be interested in?" Yeah. And when That's he told cool. me, he's like, "So I reached out to Aaron Allen about being a guest on," I'm like, "A guest on my, what? Are you crazy?" It's like, you're out of your freaking mind. I can't even believe that you would ask him. And I'm like, "So clearly you didn't hear back." And he's like, "Oh yeah, no, he's booked for next week." I'm like, so it was cool. So he came on and he did like 5 or 6 songs on my live stream, and it was just the coolest thing ever. So
that's incredible.
After that, it was so cool. So after that, we had, I think he reached out to him again. He said, "Hey, Deb's, you know, really wanting to get writing more. And she's never done the whole co-writing thing. Any chance that you'd want to?" And he's like, "Yeah, sure." He's like, said, like, "Tell her to message me." Okay.
Yeah.
So now we've got 2 songs in the books and 1, hopefully we'll see how it goes next week. But
be incredible.
Such a genuine, genuine guy. And that's what I love about country music artists.
Yeah.
They're just, you know, down.
It's what you see is what you get. There isn't no fakeness towards us. There isn't anything. Like, we are literally just, for the most, I can't speak for everybody, but for the people that I've met so far in this group of amazing musicians, they're just all wholesome. Like, they grew up with the good head on their shoulders, or they've been through some experiences that have set them straight. And like the family and the love that you have in country music these days is just insurmountable. I couldn't imagine seeing this kind of aspect in any other genre whatsoever.
Yeah, I don't think, maybe it is. I don't know, but I don't think so. I think it's really unique to the country scene. So, So I'm working on that right now, and then I'm trying to get as many co-writes in as possible, and writing on my own. I would love to. My goal is to get 5 or 6 songs and get an EP out. That's kind of what.
Would you rather go for the EP or would you go for the singles at a time?
Well, you know what? That's a great question. And we haven't figured it out. We're so new into this whole thing that I don't know. I don't know what is the best route to go. We're kind of talking to people as we meet them and as we have conversations kind of thing, because I don't know where to get started with that.
Well, let me put my 2 cents in on this one, because I've had a conversation with Jim Cressman of Invictus Entertainment on this conversation. And Jim has told me that if you have a song ready to go and available, ship it out.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you have the ability to have those 5 songs ready to go in that month, and then you can have that EP, give her. But if you have the ability to have that one single, and then next month have the next single, and then the next month have the next single, bring out the other singles first, and then like maybe combine it later on with it. But that's the advice I've gotten from Jim. And yeah, Jim kind of knows a thing or two in the music business. So
just a bit, eh?
Just a tiny, tiny bit.
Well, thanks for sharing that. We kind of don't know really where to go from here. So.
Oh, the only way you can go, madame, is even further up. So there ain't ever coming down for you.
appreciate that.
Well, guys, if you weren't a fan before, I am willing to bet everything I have that you are now. And Deb, if you just received hundreds of thousands of new fans from listening to this podcast, where can they follow you up on your social media?
They can follow me at Deborah Lynn. If you search Deborah Lynn in Facebook, I believe it's I am Deborah Lynn on Facebook and Twitter. On Instagram, it's Deborah Lynn Music.
Do we have TikTok yet?
I do, but I don't know how to use it. Because, you know, I'm even though I'm so young,
you know what? Technology is faster than we are these days. So,
yeah, right. I feel like it would be I am Deborah Lynn. And I don't know that there's anything on there, to be honest. I'd have to check in with my manager.
So listeners, if you go on TikTok right now and you listen to the sounds, search up Deborah Lynn Revive a Ghost, make a video on that and share the hell out of it.
Right on. Love it.
Deborah, thank you so much for taking some time to chat with me today. Congrats again on all your amazing accomplishments, on your awards, on the number one for the Canadian Indie Country Countdown. I am a strong believer that females should and will reign above all in country music world soon. And I am very blessed to be able to say that I knew you when. So thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you so much, Tim. You are doing awesome things, not only just for like yourself and your music. It's phenomenal. But for us artists as well, it's so awesome that you're taking time out of your, you know, your family life and your music career to help ours. So it's thank you so much. We truly appreciate it.
Aw, thank you. So there you have it, everyone, my amazing interview with Deborah Lynn. Please make sure to go check her out on all her social media sites at I'm Deborah Lynn. My name is Tim Albertson. You can check out my music at www.timalbertsonmusic.ca. Also, make sure to follow us on Facebook and YouTube, where we premiere the live video for our interviews with the live chat with our artists. Just search the Canadian Country Music Podcast. Also, if you are an artist and you have some insight you want to share about your experiences, please email me at theccmcast@gmail.com. Until next week, everyone, remember that love is always free, and I will see you all next time on the Canadian Country Music Podcast. Coming to our homeward back.